This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour Canada report recorded on Friday, April 6th, 2024. I'm Mark Boulanger. The International Negotiating Committee on Plastic Pollution will be conducting a conference in Montreal, April 23rd to 29th, 2024. The intergovernmental body is working on the creation of a global treaty on plastics. Labour will be represented at the conference. I talked to Daria Cibraio about the INC. Ms. Cibraio is the policy officer at Public Services International for local and regional government workers and multinational enterprises. The PSI represents more than 30 million workers in 154 countries. In Canada, it represents unions such as the Canadian Union of Public Employees and the Public Service Alliance of Canada. I asked Ms. Cibraio to describe what can be a very complex topic, the effect of plastics on the environment.
It is a very, very serious issue, certainly from the PSI perspective, but I think from the perspective of the larger labor movement and for the world as a whole. This is why it has been picked up even at the multilateral level, even if it is certainly complex. Let me tell you just a few data that I hope will exemplify how serious the issue is. If we just look at the production of waste, all mixed, just think that by 2050, the projections tell us that there will be 73% more waste than there was in 2020. So that means that the world in 2050 will produce 3.80 billion tons per year, which is already huge. Then if we look at plastic waste, as of now, the world is producing 430 million tons of plastics per year, and two-thirds of those are used on a very short period basis or are just a single use. Just think of food and beverage packaging, plastic cutlery, but also medical supplies such as gloves, syringes, and surgical tools. Plus, think of the personal protective equipment, the PPE, for many essential and frontline workers such as firefighters and public emergency workers. So if we look at all of that, the brief life cycle of this kind of plastics equates to over 2,000 garbage trucks, think 2,000 garbage trucks full of plastics dumped in our oceans, rivers, and lakes every single day. And last data, plastic pollution is set to triple by 2060 if no action is taken. So it is really mind-boggling. But one additional threat is certainly the fact that plastics gets into waterways, into rivers, if it is not well collected, sorted, and disposed of. And there's now 85% of marine litter is plastics. And we find now plastics in the guts of a lot of marine animals, birds, fish, including in the water. The last point I want to make, which is micro and nanoplastics. Indeed, when plastics hits the water, at some point it decays and we don't see it anymore with our human eye. But that doesn't mean that the plastics is gone away. It just turns into such small fragments, so small that sometimes can permeate and trespass the membrane of our human and animal cells and lodge themselves into organs. So as of today, 75% of samples of breast milks that are checked contain micro and nanoplastics. And so we do not yet know what the implications for human health and for the environment and for the life on Earth is. This is how serious the problem is.
What workers are involved in the question of plastic pollution?
There are very many of them, and I have to say that most of them are those who provide public services regardless of their employment status. The negotiator in this process and many of our partners, when we talk about workers having to deal with plastic waste or being exposed to it, they immediately think of so-called waste pickers, who are extremely important workers, often self-employed, organizing cooperatives, who do a very important work of removing plastic waste, especially in those countries where there's no formal, safe, adequate waste management, collection and disposal utility services, all while keeping some form of a livelihood. However, there's many more workers than informal workers. And as trade unionists, we have a vision of waste management services that can protect the planet and people, including workers, from plastic waste, which is based on decent work, not just on informal work, which perpetuates itself into a cycle of poverty. So from a PSI perspective, just to tell you some of the professions which deal directly with plastic waste, we have, of course, waste management and environmental services, which are often under the jurisdiction of the local governments, local authorities, who have the responsibility to collect, sort, transport, recycle, and finally dispose safely of plastic waste and all waste. But also those services that you find in many countries, so-called depollution and renaturing services, so important to rehabilitate and get areas which have been previously contaminated by toxic waste, including plastics and plastics-related hazardous substances, green again. But also think of clinical waste management workers who have to deal with contaminated plastic materials, such as hospital janitors. Think of water, sewage, and sanitation services who have to do the pipe maintenance, wastewater and mud treatment, and often need to remove clogs of plastic waste from waterways and sewage. There's then, of course, public emergency services, including firefighters, civil protection, and first responders, but also those who take care of our green spaces and public spaces, park rangers, forest guards, and biologists who have to look at what plastic waste is doing to our ecosystems and have to keep our public places safe for everyone. And finally, and this is not exhaustive, also those who are into regulatory agencies, either at a local, state, or national level, who provide environmental and health regulatory services, and the administrators in local government who do urban, territorial, and waste management planning for plastic waste management. So these are just some examples, but I want to tell you that there's been a blind eye to this category of workers during the whole negotiation, and PSI and the ITUC delegation have tried to unveil the complexity of the labor dimension of solving the plastic waste crisis. Another absolutely critical aspect of this negotiation, which unfortunately has not got the visibility and the debate, is the occupational health and safety dimension. Plastic by itself, so when it's static, may not necessarily be seen as a hazardous substance, but in fact it can be. In many countries, compounds and chemical products that are related and get into the production of plastics and even into its recycling, that is why the circular economy may not be as safe as some think, actually create health and occupational hazards for the many workers who are exposed to plastic production and to plastic waste removal and disposal. These toxic and hazardous substances and chemicals can cause endocrine disruption, chronic conditions via inhalation, ingestion, or dermal contact. And all the workers that I enumerated beforehand can actually have these kind of problems. This is why it is absolutely critical that in the text of the agreement there be reference to the ILO Convention 155 on Occupational Health and Safety and on Convention 170 on Chemicals, And the ILO has published a very important handbook that has been distributed during the negotiation that listeners can find by searching on the web, hazardous exposure to plastics in the world of work.
What are some of the recommendations the PSI has made to alleviate plastic pollution?
Well, first of all, we as public service workers' representative, we want and constantly remind the negotiators and our allies that waste services are an essential public service for every community and they are key for the protection of public health and the environment. And therefore, we argue for the recognition of proper, safe, modern, decent waste management systems as public services operated on a public good approach. We believe, therefore, that they need to be in public hands, operated not for profit extraction, but to solve the problem of the plastic waste crisis the world is encountering. And we are also arguing that this is a great opportunity to turn the course of plastic waste pollution into an opportunity to develop decent employment opportunities, especially for informal waste workers who can be progressively made formal and brought into decent jobs if so they wish. We also demand that there be adequate levels of public investment. These infrastructures need a long-term investment in very complex infrastructure, but there must also be adequate investment in the social infrastructure, meaning the workers who have to operate and keep the environment and public health safe. And that can only happen if there's decent work that goes with this kind of vision. Can I also add one last point, which is very key?
Of course.
That one is just transition. Now, the just transition concept that we as labor movement, PSI and other colleagues at the INC negotiations are referring to is actually the one that is anchored within the concept of the International Labor Organization, meaning the respect for workers' rights, regardless of the employment status in this transition, the protection of all workers in vulnerable conditions, those who are exposed to plastics, but also social dialogue with workers' organizations at all stages of the negotiation process on whatever will come out on this instrument as actionable decisions that will also have to be funded on how to deal with the scourge of plastic waste pollution. The reality is that for now, the concept of just transition within UNEP tends to refer to the inclusion of informal workers in public procurement systems of local governments or national systems. And that is just a part of the story. And we would actually prefer that the just transition concept be not reinvented, but be built upon starting on the ILO definition. Another absolutely critical aspect of this negotiation, which unfortunately has not got the visibility and the debate, is the occupational health and safety dimension. Plastics by itself, so when it's static, may not necessarily be seen as a hazardous substance, but in fact, it can be. In many countries, compounds and chemical products that are related and get into the production of plastics and even into its recycling. That is why the circular economy may not be as safe as some think. Actually, create health and occupational hazards for the many workers who are exposed to plastic production and to plastic waste removal and disposal. These toxic and hazardous substances and chemicals can cause endocrine disruption, chronic conditions via inhalation, ingestion, or dermal contact. And all the workers that I enumerated beforehand can actually have these kind of problems. This is why it is absolutely critical that in the text of the agreement that be referenced to the ILO Convention 155 on Occupational Health and Safety and on Convention 170 on chemicals. And the ILO has published a very important handbook that has been distributed during the negotiation that listeners can find by searching on the web, Hazardous Exposure to Plastics in the World of Work.
You can find more information about the work of the PSI on issues such as plastic pollution at www.publicservices.international. And that's it, labor news you can use. You can listen to our daily newscasts and features at radiolabor.net. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.